Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. These are God's word. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So far, the reading of God's Word. We've been hearing in this extended digression, bunny trail of the apostle. He started out the chapter saying, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." And next week, he's going to pick that back up in verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees," and Lord willing, a couple of weeks after that, we're going to pick up another thread that he began at the start of chapter 3 when he says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." But here he's concluding this bunny trail in which he's marveling at how he became the one that God chose to announce the mystery of the gospel to the nations, to the Gentiles. This mystery that was hidden in God before the world began. This plan of God to unite all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. And he's just astounded. And he finishes by saying, "To the intent that now the," and New King James says "manifold." And if you follow your footnote, you can see that they've given "variegated" as a possible translation of that. And everybody says, "Oh, why? I love Lowry's Church. It's very variegated." Of course you would know exactly what I meant when I said that. The word literally means multicolored. The multicolored wisdom of God. And it's actually an important word in this context, because look at to whom he is saying that wisdom is being made known, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, all kinds of people like rainbows for all kinds of reasons. There are people who are very wicked and despise God and have decided to make rainbows their emblem. God forgive them and bring them to repentance. There are little girls who just love all those colors, and especially if you put some sparkles in them. And it's okay to be a little boy who loves all kinds of colors and sparkles too. Rainbows are marvelously created that way. But rainbows are special to the church in particular, because after God had given almost all of humanity what we deserved for our sin, God got Noah off the boat and he said, "Now I'm not going to do that again. And I am sending a Redeemer, and I am going to keep my covenant with you and your descendants." All descendants of Noah, raise your hand. That would be all of you. And God made a sign that was a bow, the most advanced military weapon of the time, the long-range assault weapon, and he aimed it at himself. And rainbows are very precious to us for that reason. But rainbows are precious to angels and the souls of the just made perfect for yet another glorious reason. And that is because, as it is described to us in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation, there is a rainbow before the throne of God. And so the fact that by the church, God has chosen to make this gathering of justified only through faith in Jesus and being sanctified also by the grace of Jesus, still often sinning, stumbling, and yet called saints, God has chosen to make us those by whom his multicolored wisdom is being made known to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Because as chapter 1 told us, and as chapter 2 repeated, we are seated already in the heavenly places in Jesus. And all that he is doing in making us to walk in good works that he prepared beforehand, in making us to realize more and more that reconciliation, which is an historical fact in Jesus Christ, and not something that believers try to produce, but rather grow into what they are and what our condition is, all of that is especially seen in union with Jesus Christ, where we have been joined to him and seated in the heavenly places for all of the angels in glory to worship him for his work of grace and to praise the multicolored wisdom of God as it is displayed to them by the church. Now, one of the primary ways that the multicolored wisdom of God is displayed to the angels is by our boldness. And this actually happens in the face of three things. One is in the face of the world. One is actually before the face of God. And the other, the last, is in the face of our and other believers' trials. And so according to this eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, and he's carrying out now the application of what Jesus has accomplished, and he gives us in verses 12 and 13 these three different ways that we have this confidence in Christ. First, in whom we have boldness. Now, this is something that the apostle often prays for, or asks them to pray for him, that he would speak with boldness, as I ought to speak, he said. So even the apostle Paul is still growing up into acting according to what he knows to be true. And the Lord is growing him. And if ever there was a day when the church needed to say, look at the eternal purposes of God that saved us in Christ alone. Look at how Christ has accomplished it in time. Look at how Christ, who has brought us to faith in himself, is not going to stop his work until we are conformed to his image, and he's the firstborn among many brethren. How could we possibly fear the world? How could we possibly tremble, whether from their opposition or even, God help us, trembling before their opinions? He says, knowing the mystery of God that was hidden from before the world began and has been accomplished by Christ and is being worked out in the church, that gives us boldness. But it also gives us access with confidence. Remember in chapter 2, he had described this access that God has given to us through Jesus. We both, Jew and Gentile, who are believers in Jesus Christ, have access to the Father. He's reconciled us to God in the same Christ, and therefore he's reconciled us to one another. And what kind of access is it? Is it a timid, halting, faltering uncertainty of how we will be received? Certainly there's trembling when you come before and come near the almighty and holy and glorious God, but it is not the trembling of uncertainty. Rather, we have access with confidence. The mystery of the gospel that was hidden in Christ and has been accomplished enables us not just to speak to the world and live before the world with boldness. It even permits us to come to the throne of glory with boldness. Why? Because the throne of glory is the throne of grace. And therefore we come boldly to the throne because on it sits the one who came down and lived, became one of us, and lived perfectly righteously in our place, and yet suffered the wrath of God in our place, and now has passed through the heavens to where he sits there. So when we come to the throne of glory, trembling as we do because of the greatness of the glory, we have that access with confidence. And so boldness in the face of the world, boldness even before the face of God. And in the last place, verse 13, boldness in the face of our troubles. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul is going to write to them and he's going to say, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And he wants them to hear that his being the prisoner of Jesus is worth every bit of what he endures, because it is what God is using to make their walking match their calling. And he's going to be urging them to do that in chapter 4. But he knows the Ephesians love him. And he knows that if he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, there are going to be people in that church who immediately think, oh, I wish I could be there instead of Paul. Or, oh, let's pray for Paul right now. It must be so hard on him. He doesn't want them to be distracted by the difficulty of the circumstance. He wants them to be motivated by what his circumstance is accomplishing. And so as he's described himself as a prisoner, and as he's traced this mystery of the plan of God to save sinners through Jesus, he wants them now to see his troubles as part of what God does to bring that glory. He says, therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. I want you to rejoice when you hear Paul, prisoner of the Lord, because this is how God is conforming you to the image of Jesus. Giving me a break from all that preaching out in the open square and all the instruction of those churches when I was allowed to be gathered with them, God has assigned to me a sabbatical in prison for the purpose of writing this letter to the Ephesians, by which the great mystery of the gospel will be unfolded to you, and not just to the Ephesians either. Ought we, even in 2020, not praise God for the tribulations of the Apostle Paul that granted to us this letter in which the glory of the mystery of the gospel is opened to us and by which we are being conformed to the glory of Jesus, enabled such that our walking will come more and more to match our calling, as the Apostle is going to get to when he starts to finish this thought in Ephesians chapter 4. And so the angels who see a rainbow before the throne see a much greater rainbow in the wisdom of God and all the different things that he is pulling together to glorify himself in Christ. And we who see it ought to be bold before the world and ought to make use of our access that we have to God in Christ with confidence, and even in the face of troubles, not to lose heart, but to rejoice that these are the things through which God has designed to glorify himself as he makes his church into the image of his glorious Son, our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, how we thank you for the place that you have given us in your plan to glorify yourself in Christ, and the place that each of our troubles have, although not as grand in centrality to your plan of redemption, but still participating in this multicolored wisdom of how you would glorify yourself through the redemption of sinners in Jesus. We are humbled before you to be reminded from your word that even the angels worship you because of what you are doing in your church and in the particular lives of these redeemed sinners in this particular church. And we pray that you'd make us to rejoice before the world, to rejoice before your throne, and even to rejoice in our troubles. For we ask it in your precious and glorious name, our Lord Jesus. Amen.